Shalom and God bless you.
Welcome to Ask the Pastor.
I do hope you're connected with us. And for those who are not here connected with us, we ask that you actually call them and tell them to be with us on our Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube platform. They can join us. Those who have access to their TV, ring them on and let them know that they should also join us. It's another wonderful time. And also, you can send in your question through SMS or by WhatsApp. Let's remember that this is not a prayer program. Let's also remember this is not a program to call in for dream interpretation. We are here to actually focus on the Word of God. As we all know that the theme for this program, Ask the Pastor, is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. We say, study to show thyself up unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I remain Brother Godson Uba, and with me is Pastor Moses Alu. God bless you, sir.
Shalom to Brother Ebuka. Shalom to the Bright TV crew and all that make it happen behind the cameras and on the computer sets and on the set. Shalom to those who have made it possible, allow God to use them with their finances to keep us on air, that the bride can have access to this program. The supporter, financial supporters of this television channel. Shalom also to the Bride of Christ worldwide. It's always my pleasure to minister to you, for that is my purpose of existence. And I pray that today, as we go into our Bible study session, that God will grant us understanding, grant us knowledge, and grant us wisdom of presentation too. And let it carry life, that somebody will be blessed thereby, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And please, we are not claiming absolute knowledge of the Word of God. If you think we are misplacing any scripture, please feel free to let us know. This is an interactive Bible study session, and we'll be glad to add to what we know from you. Add whatever you think we need to know, we'll appreciate it. Thank you very much. Welcome to another session of Ask the Pastor. And today, I am the pastor you will ask, Pastor Moses Alu. Shalom.
All right, shalom and God bless you. Nice having everybody joining us in their homes, and those who are on their way, we trust the Lord to take you to your various destinations safely. Still watching us, it's interesting. And today we're actually looking at a lot of things, because questions are definitely going to come in from brethren. Now, so with the message that was preached last week Sunday, I always like to start off with that before we then have people calling in. Jesus is hungry for fruits. Jesus is hungry for fruits.
He's hungry for fruit.
One of the statements that was made is the purpose of the gift is to call our attention to the reality of God.
Sure.
But if we want to look at it from the other angle, the Bible says that the gift of a man will make room for him. One could actually pick that and just run away and say it is just make room.
In the context of that scripture, the gift of a man, the gift of a man will make a way for him. It could mean your talent, and it could mean the gift of the Spirit of God to minister will make it for you. But it can also mean that the physical gift you take to a king will make way for you to meet the king. Okay. So it depends on the application of that statement.
Okay. Well, you know, we see that happening a lot in the denomination, where people pick that and just pick it and just mean that. That is why, especially when you are trying to confront somebody who is making merchandise of the gift.
Yeah, a lot of people believe that the gift is given to them as a career.
Yes.
The ministry is an enterprise. And that So it is where you walk, you eat. Mm. And that many believe that the gift is given to them for that purpose. So don't tell me I should not use it. You use what you have to get what you need, as the saying goes. Mm. But it's wrong. That's not the purpose of the gift. Mm. The purpose is for the edification of the body. Amen. The purpose is, take for instance, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, maybe verse 2.
Okay, verse 2. And it says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh unto men, but not unto men, but unto God."
Verse 3.
Okay, verse 3. "But he that prophesieth..."
Now, see, prophecy.
"Speaketh unto men..."
To what?
"To edification."
You are to edify with it.
"And exhortation."
Exhort with it.
"And comfort."
And it is supposed to comfort.
Okay.
This is the purpose of the gift. It is the body gift to help the body. Okay. And the leg, the hand of this one body called Moses. Okay. Christ is one body with many members. Amen. This is Moses with members. Amen. The hand, the eye, the ear, the leg.
Certainly.
Now, for the leg is dirty and needs the ministry of the hand to wash it. And the hand, the leg is saying, the hand is saying, "You have to pay me to be able to wash you." You know, something is wrong. Mm. And that's exactly what happens when these people commercialize their gift. You have to pay them before they minister to you. That is exactly what is wrong with it. It's wrong.
All right. I know questions are already coming in through SMS and WhatsApp, and probably phone calls will start coming. But one more question before we move into that section. And that is in the aspect of fasting, because we're actually in a period of consecration. And there's this thing a lot of believers will always keep saying, when you are hungry as a believer, don't behave like the Muslims or like somebody who doesn't have faith. Don't allow it show up in your face. But somebody is hungry and you're telling him not to show it in his face. What? Is that not being hypocritical?
Well, because the Lord Jesus himself taught us how to fast in Matthew chapter 6.
Okay.
Verse 16 and 17 and verse 18.
Okay, Matthew chapter 6 verse 16 says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance."
You see?
"For they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast."
Yes.
"Verily I say unto you, they have their reward."
Uh-huh.
"But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face."
Look fresh.
"That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly."
I think I've answered you.
Okay. All right. God bless you. We can start having the questions coming in. Certainly, we knew they were coming. Shalom, Pastor, and shalom, brother. Please, can you explain the meaning of God, Jesus, and the Spirit? Though I know they are one.
Let's take the one after the other. The meaning of God. God is an object of worship. God is an object of worship. And there are many gods. Anything that is worshipped is God. But now there is another God, which we believe is our creator.
Yes, sir.
And he has his own name. Every God has his name.
Yes, sir.
And that God is a spirit. He is a spirit. And so it's not a physical being, it's a spirit being. And he has a name. And the God we worship, he is identified by what he's doing at any given time.
Amen.
And for now, he is in the process of saving, salvation.
Amen.
Therefore, his name will reflect salvation. That is why he's called Yeshua or Joshua, which means Jehovah saves.
Yes,
for he is also Jehovah. It's also an attribute of the self-existing one, God. So Jesus, the Greek word for Yeshua is Jesus. So Jesus is the name of our God, who is a spirit.
Amen.
Is that question number one answered?
Yes, that's question number one. And spirits, that is actually answered. So question number two, please, I understand from your teachings that when you receive the Holy Ghost, you can never forget that experience.
Of course. How can a woman ever forget the date she married the man of her dream? The wedding day is unforgettable. Yes?
So my question is, if in the course of the ministration you felt such a change in your strength with vibration in your right hand, is it a sign that you have received?
It's a manifestation of the Spirit. Yes, it's a manifestation of the Spirit.
Okay, if yes, does the Holy Ghost speak to let you know who you have received?
No, it's by the fruit that you will know what you have received thereafter.
Okay.
The fruit you bear, before a tree is known by her fruit. Amen. It's not a voice you will hear.
Okay.
But the fruit you begin, because the purpose of the Holy Ghost is to bring conversion.
Amen.
If a man be in Christ and you are in Christ by the baptism of the Holy Ghost,
yes, sir,
he's a new creature.
Yes, sir.
And all things are passed away. Therefore, it's a total conversion, and all we see, you yourself, you will see. It's very interesting to be, you know, thus converted.
Amen. Amen. That question, the question still continues. The next slide. Or it will be the change of character. That has been answered.
You are correct.
So question number three. Please, is it possible to still have strong feelings for women after the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Brother Evans from Ghana.
Yes. And this is why Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 5 made this statement. In Galatians chapter 5 verse 16.
Okay, verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusted against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law."
He says, walk in the Spirit. If you have received the Holy Ghost, then allow him, you know, to lead you, walk by his dictates, walk, for you are still in this flesh. But if you decide to be carnal, then you can lust, you will do all the things that this flesh will want you to do. But that is why the Holy Ghost is there to check you. But if you refuse it to check you, for you have your will. The baptism of the Holy Ghost does not take your will from you.
Okay.
It only comes to show you the will of God and gives you the power to subject yourself to the will of God.
Amen.
But you have the power to also say, I will not, and you will never enjoy the benefit of the Holy Ghost. God bless you.
God bless. Amen. All right, let's move on to other questions. All right, we have another question. Shalom, sir, is it right for a woman to lead prayer at home even while her husband is around? Sister Doris.
Yeah, under the authority of your husband.
Okay.
Your husband is there and is telling you pray. Yeah, it's under his authority.
Okay.
Can tell you to do anything. That does not make you, but you cannot order him to do anything.
Okay. Okay.
You cannot order him to do anything, but he can order you to do anything, including pray for us.
Okay.
Lead prayer. I'm having a headache. Lead prayers. Lead prayers. I'm tired. Lead prayers. It's under his authority. He's still watching over
you. I would also want you to actually, to probably stress maybe a bit on this. Where it's now consistent that the man is handing over prayers to the woman, what would you have to say, or what advice would you give in such a situation?
If the man must have observed the spirituality of the woman, that's very good. So encourages, and there's nothing wrong in it.
Okay, we have a caller, Sister Judith from Abuja. Sister Judith, shalom and God bless you.
Last Friday, during the vigil,
okay,
I was the one that called concerning that I've never fasted 6 to 6, but I did it for the first time.
Oh, congratulations. Congrats.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. During the course of the administration, you started, you said there's a ball of fire and you see it coming down. And right in my room, my right hand became very heavy. I could barely hold my hand. And I just felt this chilling feeling on my head, like water, just very cool. Then I could not stop laughing. For the next 45 minutes, I was just laughing. I could not even call back again, because if I call back, I was just laughing. I could not stop myself as much as I wanted to stop myself. For all this time, sir, I thought I had the Holy Ghost. So what happened now? Is it that I don't understand?
Well, what made you think you have the Holy Ghost before?
I thought I did, sir. I actually thought I did because of an encounter I had. When I saw Christ Television, I stood up and I heard a voice that said I should just pack all my trousers and everything and throw it away. And I did, I obeyed. So when you said
Sister Judith,
the characteristics of the Holy Ghost, yes sir.
Sister Judith, what is actually what you had, that voice you had to pack your jewelries and throw away, it was God's own way of preparing you, preparing, rearranging the altar of your heart so that he will now come and dwell inside. So what that he told you, throw those things away, is not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is a sanctification process. That is a consecration process. That is why anytime we want to prepare for the baptism of the Holy Ghost like this, we go with this 21-day fast to enable us prepare our hearts and cleanse ourselves so that God can be pleased to come and dwell in us. And because you obeyed, he has visited you and he has given you the Holy Ghost. Congratulations.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
Now you are an eternal being.
Amen.
And just yield yourself and let him have his way in your life. Amen. You will not regret serving this God of Israel. Congratulations.
Thank you.
God bless you once again. Okay. Congratulations, Sister Judith.
Okay, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
God bless you. Now that is really wonderful, knowing that it's not just, because a lot of people might want to feel, oh, that was actually written. It was this, thank God we're having somebody calling and actually say, I was the one who actually wrote that testimony. And I believe that should actually boost the faith of someone else who is out there and wondering, I'm not in Lagos State, how can God still visit me? Sister Judith is not in Lagos State, and Bright TV sponsors, more blessings and more grace.
Amen.
All right, let's keep the questions coming in. All right. Shalom, Pastor. Thanks for affording us this privilege to ask questions. God bless you richly. Question one, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 16, what is this sin unto death? And what is the Apostle John trying to communicate in the verse?
In the verse.
Yes, 1 John 5, verse 16.
I know I have tried to explained that scripture several times, that it is the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. But the truth about it is, if we go deeper, progressive revelation, you will see that he is saying here that you should not pray for the person. So the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost does not bring sickness. The blasphemy of the Holy Ghost just reserves you for the hell fire. But the sin unto death, for somebody, for him to say, don't pray, it simply means he's a brother. It simply means the person is a brother or a sister. But now, he committed something, which you know that he has committed a sin. And God strikes him. And God decides that his punishment is death. He will call him home. You should be able to know when, you know, you are praying and it's getting worse. You are praying and it's getting worse. That is a sin, and you know what he did, because it's a brother, it's a sister. That's why you are praying for him, praying for her. So he said, don't bother, because it is God calling him home.
Could we liken that to the case of Ananias and Sapphira?
Ananias and Sapphira.
Because they could have prayed for them.
They could have prayed for them. Yes, exactly. Like Ananias and Sapphira, they could have prayed for them. It's a perfect example of a sin unto death. The whole church was there, and they saw that the Holy Ghost struck him unto death. Why? You no need to pray for them to come back to life. It is a sin unto death. God bless you. The next question.
This actually enlightens my eye a bit. Okay. So question two. Why is it the angel Michael in Revelation chapter 10 verse 7 referred to, why is he referred to as Christ? This seems to be a war that occurred between Jesus, before Jesus was manifested in the flesh. Furthermore, in the same, Michael is referred in Daniel 10, a time before Christ. I think there's a lot of mix-up.
I think it's mixing up a lot of things.
Mixing up a lot of things there. Why but is the angel
Revelation
Michael?
Revelation 10:7 is in the days of the voice of the seventh.
So it should be probably verse 1.
Maybe why is the angel Michael in Revelation 10:7? There is no angel Michael in Revelation 10 at all. There is no angel Michael in the book in Revelation chapter 10 at all. So maybe you have to go back and ask. Maybe it's referring to
There's a certain set back then in the end time message that was always propagating that it was the angel Michael, which also refers to Christ.
No.
And things like
No. There's another question. Maybe you have to go back again.
And rephrase the question. Yes. So question 3.
But there's angel Michael, I think, in Revelation chapter 12.
Okay.
But it's okay, and some other scriptures.
So question 3. How did you come to the conclusion that the little book John was asked to eat in Revelation 10 is the same book in Revelation 4? I don't see why
there is no book again in Revelation 4.
Okay.
Is there any book in Revelation 4? It's in Revelation 5. I think the person that wrote this question, go back again. And, you are mixing
Brother Chris from Netherlands.
Is it Brother Chris?
Yes, Brother Chris.
Oh,
from Netherlands.
Brother Chris, you are mixing it up. Check what you are looking at again. And maybe give us a call.
Yes. Because there's no book in
Revelation 4. Mm. It is in Revelation chapter 5. And remember that it is in Revelation chapter 5 that he collected the book and it was sealed.
Yes, verse 1.
And in Revelation chapter 6, the seals were open. And in Revelation chapter 10, he had a book, the little book, open.
Yes, sir.
So that is why we believe it is the same book he had collected that is now open before us in Revelation chapter 10. He opened it in Revelation chapter 6, and now in Revelation chapter 10, it says with a little book open.
So God bless you, Brother Chris. You see that Revelation 5:1, 6:1, and then check Revelation 10. So let's keep the questions coming in. Okay, we have a caller, Brother Francis from Enugu State. Brother Francis, shalom and God bless you.
Hello. Daddy, God bless you. God bless TV. God bless the crew.
God bless
TV. God bless everybody. That assembly. Amen. You as well, family, your wife, your children. May you live long with the time of Jesus.
Amen.
Certainly, I want to ask questions on this Holy Ghost baptism that we are embarked on 21 days fasting and prayer. So as of media, I am still under meditation, which by 8 o'clock in the morning, according to the instruction, I should take it. So, but now, because of this program, I'm not following it up. I'm taking my drugs and also praying, but fasting is something that we are unable to do because of the circumstances. And I want to ask, how do I do it, sir?
Maybe you are not a regular follower of our services. And when the program started, when we declared it open that same day, we said if you are on medication, you cannot participate because, of course, you can't take your medication on empty stomach. You are excused, but make sure you are in prayers. That's all.
Okay.
God bless you.
Okay, God bless you.
All right, God bless you, Brother Francis. Let me point one other thing, sir, you made mention on Sunday. You said you may be a servant of God and not be a son of God.
Yes. I grew up with my father.
Okay.
And he had servants.
Okay.
They were working for us.
Okay.
So, but here am I. I was his son. And we are all relating to him. But the relationship he has with his son is different from the relationship he has with his servant. So what's confusing?
Now, I was still going to say something further on that. Okay, but let's pick the score. Brother Chris from the Netherlands. Brother Chris, you can go on with your question. Shalom, sir.
Hello. Hello. Good evening.
Good evening.
Brother.
God bless you.
Thank you. I think there was a mix-up in the question indeed. It was Revelation 12:7 I was trying to reference.
I thought so too. I says Michael is in Revelation chapter 12.
Verse 7.
Yes.
And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angel fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angel. So what is your question?
So the question was, what because the reference there, at least I've heard it said a few times, that Michael there was Christ.
Where? Who said so?
But sorry?
Who said Michael there is Christ?
I've heard it on the pulpit there at the Bride Assembly, but I think I heard it also in some of the messages from Brother Abraham.
No.
But I heard it repeated.
If you say it was Jesus Christ that was referred to as Michael, then it means what you are saying is that the Lord Jesus Christ existed corporately before.
That's the essence of the question, actually.
No, that is a wrong assertion. Michael.
Okay.
Michael is the angel that stands for the people of Israel, assigned for them. The Bible says so. So it's an angel. He is an angel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Christ was in the picture only in the mind of God.
Okay. So this Michael is an angel.
It's an angel, and not just an ordinary angel. It's an archangel.
Okay.
God bless you.
Second question. What was the essence of John being asked to eat the book of redemption?
No. I don't know if you have followed my teaching on what that book is. That book there, I said that book is a title deed of redemption.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry.
Okay.
The title deed of redemption. But also, that book there is the certificate of occupancy of this earth, which was withdrawn from Adam. Remember that in Genesis chapter 1, he said, verse 27, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moved upon the earth. By this, the certificate of occupancy, authority to occupy this world by the landlord, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, was given to Adam. But Adam lost it, so naturally it will go back to the owner. And the only one that was now qualified was the last Adam. It has to be given back to Adam, but this time the Adam is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And he comes to he that sits upon the throne in Revelation chapter 5. And then he was the only one qualified to receive that. And he receives that honor, collects that book. But this book also contains some information in it. And among the information in it are those seals that are broken. And remember that the first seal was broken, the second seal broken, the third seal broken with the showing the black horse rider. And there is still one more seal that is to be broken for the nation of Israel, and that is the fourth seal. The fourth seal there with the pale horse rider, the spirit of deceit. And if you see what happens when the fourth seal is broken, and that fourth seal is that book. Let's read it, Revelation chapter six and verse 7 and verse 8.
And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see.
And that fourth beast is the flying eagle. Mm.
And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that was written on him was Death.
Can you see?
And hell followed with him.
And hell followed with him.
And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of
and
the earth.
And that is the time of the tribulation, the great tribulation that Israel will go through in the hand of the Antichrist. And that is the knowledge. First and foremost, John is shown the revival that will, the restoration of Israel, the Jewish revival, which is what you see in that same Revelation chapter 10 and verse 11, where there is told after he had eaten it, was sweet in the mouth. That is the story of their restoration and their revival that will take place. But it was bitter in the belly, because by the time you consider again what will go along with that revival, the Antichrist coming, the 666 mark, and the great tribulation that is coming up, you can imagine how you will feel. But then the angel assured him in verse 11, you will prophesy again. That is a revival.
That's an explanation I will accept for now.
God bless you, Brother Christian. Shalom.
Bye.
God bless you, Brother Christian. All right. Okay, we have another question. So, Shalom, Pastor. I'm married with three kids. My wife likes worldly dressing. She does not accept my faith. She likes the "it doesn't matter" preachers. So, scripturally, how do I handle such a marriage? Raul Kubi from Zimbabwe.
Now, I want you to note that you don't want a hypocrite wife. I love that woman. She's not a hypocrite, and it's not good to have a hypocrite wife. She's being herself, because when it comes to salvation, it is not about husband and wife. It's a personal revelation. Now, even the opposite is what you see in 2 Peter chapter 3. Even the opposite, where the woman has the unbelieving husband. And I believe it is also applicable if the man has the unbelieving wife. Yeah, what did he say? First Peter chapter 3. This is the way he put it from verse 1.
From verse 1, he said, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may be without the word.
May without the word.
That they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the
wives." By the lifestyle of the wives. So in this case, by your own lifestyle that you live, you will win your wife to you. Not by compulsion, not by order, not by threats, not by frowning. But secretly between you and God, you are putting her in prayer. In love, you are showing her what is God's true holiness and acceptable way of worship. So you don't force her, because remember that it is your duty to cleanse her up. You see, you are to cleanse her up. You married her, you saw something, you have to build her to what the character that you want of her. And to do that, you remember that we are even in an age of human rights. And in your part of the country where you come from, divorce rates and the rest, so you don't want that to happen to you. So you pray for wisdom, and by the time she sees the life that you live, she'll be attracted, and God has a way of backing you up. So use wisdom and use prayers, and patiently wait for God to answer your prayer. Brother David is on the line.
Brother David Abba, Shalom, and God bless you.
Okay.
Brother David, Shalom, you can go on with your question.
Oh, bless God. Oh, I've been waiting for this day.
God bless.
May God bless our pastor.
Amen. Amen.
May God bless our pastor.
Amen.
May God bless our pastor. Amen. We are happy. He has made me and my TV now glue so much that I don't listen to news anymore, because your program clash with news. So I enjoy watching it instead of news.
Wow.
God bless you. Daddy, please, this is my question, sir. At what point did Roman Catholic, the same Roman Catholic who dealt with the early Christians, the same Roman Catholic who from the history of Israel we saw are the ones who dealt with Israel so much that Israel have to run away from their country, abandon their country home, abandon the city God promised them after they left Egypt. At what point can we say that this same Roman Empire who scattered Christianity, who scattered the work of Christ, who were the enemy of Jesus Christ. At what point can we say this same Roman Catholic now turned back now, this Roman Empire turned back to become Roman Catholic, and they became the one who compiled the Bible we are using today? Because at some point, if I read through the history of Israel, I see the role they played. They didn't help at all. They didn't help Christian race. They were the enemy that, like Pontius Pilate, and some of the histories we have in the Bible. In fact, they dealt with the early Christian. In fact, from the film I watched, I think a day or two ago, I saw the role they play, how Israel had to struggle their way back home finally after surviving German execution and all of this. And my point is this, sir. Yes. Sorry, permit my joy that I'm speaking with you today.
Go ahead.
But that at what point did this same Roman Empire became Christians and then became the one that now they now become the determining factor of the Bible we read today? Because King James is equally a king in Roman Empire who wrote his own version of the Bible like that, like that, like that. Because like they say, Bible has different versions.
Yeah,
I wish I could read a Bible that has no link with Roman Empire and Roman, anything Roman. The Bible that is strictly from the root of David, the Bible that is from the from let's say from Simon Peter, the Bible that came from Paul, the Bible that has no affiliation with Roman Empire. So we could have an Bible that has no coloration with anything, that are not they have not altered it in any form. Daddy, I hope you understand what I'm saying, sir.
Yeah, brother David, God bless you.
Yes, sir.
I'm also excited to hear from somebody who is evidently benefiting from my ministry. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
You have to go back to the history of the compilation of the Bible again. I think you are mixing it somewhere. First and foremost, King James was the king of England. He was not a Roman.
Okay.
He was the king of England, and different versions that came up. He authorized the King James version. He authorized it, and if you hear people like Tyndale, people like so many of those names, and a lot of people in the course of trying to get the original manuscripts, because the original manuscripts, I want you to note that literacy, the act of writing, so to say, print technology, began during the Grecian Empire. The Greeks gave us the civilization of writing, documentary, paper, you know, writing.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So print technology, they gave us. So God used that to give us, to print the Bible for us to have today. And the Greeks, therefore, had to interpret from the Hebrew compilation, because the gospel essentially came from the Jews, and their language was the Hebrew. The Hebrew, and so they got these manuscripts. Now, which ones are the authentic ones? Which ones are not the authentic ones? One committee here, one body here, one group of people here, and then which is authentic, and all the controversies. In fact, some were burnt alive for attempting that. Some, this, you know, the story is very complicated, but somehow God is able to preserve the manuscripts and raise a man. He always does it. He raised King James, and under his watch, this King James version was put together. And it is, Rome had no input in it whatsoever. Everything was done in England. Everything was done under the watch of King James of England.
Oh, Daddy, thank you very much.
God bless you, sir.
You see, I'm short of words. That I'm speaking with you today, I feel like I've crossed the ladder.
But my private number is... my private number is no longer private. It's not public number. Why are you not able to reach me?
Oh, Daddy, it's a privilege to speak with you, sir.
Thank you very much.
I have gone to churches. I have attended churches. But I have not seen one that has the knowledge, the teachable knowledge of the Bible that one will understand. As in, I started understanding Bible ever since I started listening to you, sir.
Thank you.
I wish I could have you in Abuja. Abuja needs you, sir.
Brother David needs you, sir. Brother David.
I am sorry I'm saying this. Abuja needs you, sir.
Better than Lagos.
We need the knowledge. We need this knowledge. You can do us a center in Abuja where we can go for service, sir. So that you can be coming once in a while. Sir, it will amaze you the collapse of churches, the collapse of churches into this one center you will build in Abuja.
God bless you, Brother David, but you know I am already technically in Abuja. Are you not talking to me now from Abuja?
I'm speaking with you from
Abuja. I am already in Abuja. Okay, that's good. It's my pleasure, and I really pray I will have such opportunity where we can all come and meet and then share the word of God like this. God bless you. I'm happy. I'm encouraged by your comments.
Thank you very much, Daddy.
God bless you, Brother David.
We are grateful, sir. Thank you.
God bless you. Shalom to the brethren in Abuja. All right, before we go into the other questions, there was something I was asking earlier, and that was you may be a servant of God and not be a son of God. And I wanted to get from you, sir, the balance. Can one be a servant and from a servant become a son?
Sure. Galatians chapter
4. Can a son be a servant?
Galatians chapter 4.
Okay.
Read it from verse 1 and verse 2.
Mm-hmm. Galatians 4 from verse 1 says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father."
So when the time that is appointed of the father, that is adoption.
Okay.
Authority is given to the son.
Okay.
So he becomes both a servant
and
a son. That is the position of Christ.
Okay.
And that is the position of every elect of God.
Okay.
That is why he gave us the talents. You see, in Luke chapter 19, he gave us, he said servants.
Mm.
He called his servants, gave them the talent.
Okay.
But the truth is, it's only those who are born again that are given those talents to serve him.
Mm.
We are his children and we are his servant. Personally, God ministered to me years ago that I'm his son and his servant.
Amen. Okay, we have a caller and we take that call. Pastor Samuel from Delta State. Pastor Samuel, shalom and God bless you.
Shalom.
God bless you. You can go on with your question, Pastor Samuel.
Okay. That is more grace, sir.
Thank you.
Sir, in this consecration program, I saw something in Revelation. In that pulpit, in that altar, it's like a ladder. That is, I was climbing it to the essence, to the last. And I saw something like a image on top. So I need the meaning.
You climb up to meet me there, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
You in that revelation at that pulpit there was
a
ladder.
I met you. Something like
Yes.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And that is exactly what I am doing to pull all of us up. So that we all together go up to heaven.
Sir?
You didn't get that. Hello?
Hello, I'm hearing you, sir.
I said that is exactly what this program is all about. I am pulling everybody for us to go to heaven. So I'm pulling you up so that from there we wait for the Lord Jesus and we go. Correct? Do you hear me?
Yes. I'm hearing you.
Yeah, that is why we sing one of our songs. That song says, "I'm praising on that upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. That is what we shall achieve. Thank you. Let it be our prayer. And let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. God bless you, Pastor Samuel. I'm waiting there for you. I'm waiting at the top there for you and every other person. And then Christ will come and take us home.
Amen.
Shalom.
Shalom and God bless you, Pastor Samuel. So we'll take a short break. And while we're on that break, just turn what you've heard, the song, into a prayer. God bless you and shalom.